More than 150 hours of tapes of former President Nixon were released by the Nixon Presidential Library. The tapes capture a complicated picture of the president. Of particular interest, Nixon is heard on a muffled tape recording telling his special counsel that abortion is necessary in some cases, including instances of multiracial pregnancy. And he talks about hammering out an end to the Vietnam War, even if he has to, quote, cut off the head of the South Vietnamese leader. Interesting and disturbing. Joining us on the live line this morning, Nixon historian Luke Nichter, an assistant professor of history at Texas A&M University. Professor, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time. Why are these tapes coming out now? Have they been withheld until now?
Well, you know, we're dealing with a volume of records that's just enormous. We have found out now that presidents going back to Franklin Roosevelt taped, but Nixon taped more than any other president combined, 3,700 hours. And the National Archives estimates it takes about 100 hours of staff time to process every 1 hour of tape. So I think that, you know, while there have been some delays in the processing, we're just talking about a huge volume of materials.
And are these Oval Office tapes that we're so familiar with, or are they something else?
Well, it's a variety. You know, there were several taping locations. Nixon did have the Oval Office taped, and also he had a more private office across Executive Avenue in the Executive Office Building. And then he also had Camp David taped, and several of White House phones, even including in the upstairs of the White House in the first family's residence. So there were numerous taping locations, but certainly the Oval Office are part of those.
And tell us about some of the highlights. Are there any surprises in this latest batch of tapes?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, there have been so many Nixon records released in the past few years that in the midst of really, you know, our Nixon fatigue, it would be so easy to miss the real importance of the documents and tapes released yesterday. For example, for the first time, we have the Nixon tapes and the recorded conversations related to the end of the Vietnam War and the draft. I mean, talk about two issues that affected a generation of young Americans more than any other. Also, other important issues that are captured on the Nixon taping system in this release include, as you mentioned, Nixon's comments on Roe v. Wade, and also the conviction of the Watergate burglars at the end of January. So beginning with this tape release, and we'll see it more with the next tape releases, the management of Watergate is beginning to occupy a small but growing role in day-to-day policymaking in the White House.
And do we know yet how much more there is about the Watergate break-in in particular? Are we talking about a lot of information that we don't know yet?
Well, there will be some. I mean, a lot of that material was released in the 1970s, 73 and 4, and all the famous testimony that was on television and captured our imagination for so long. So a lot of those initial records were released. But one thing we don't have a good, clear sense yet from a historian's perspective is really the day-to-day role that Watergate played as it became more acute going on in time through 73. The taping system was shut off in July of 73, so about a year before the end of the Nixon administration. What we're going to see is the pattern with Watergate becoming a day-to-day crisis is really going to escalate and grow and grow and grow. So I think we're really going to gain a lot of context and really see how day-to-day this crisis began to affect policymaking.
And as a historian, we always come back to the question, why would there have been tape recordings made if they were incriminating in some way? Is there anything in this material that's going to be incriminating to President Nixon?
Well, I think so. I mean, I can imagine if your or my, you know, most private thoughts and conversations were recorded, we would occasionally say something off color too. I certainly wouldn't want my private conversations made public. But, you know, it's kind of a mystery why Nixon recorded. You know, he should have known better, we would all say today. But as it turned out, you know, Nixon was a student of history. He loved history, loved to read history. And beginning in 1971 in February, he wanted his conversations recorded verbatim. This wasn't a record system that was turned on and off. It ran continuously. It was voice activated. And I think Nixon felt, beginning in 1971 with the great overtures to China and also talks with the Soviets that were occurring secretly, Nixon felt he was making history, and he wanted to record those events for history's sake.
Particularly with regard to the Oval Office tapings now, did people who came into the office to discuss issues with the president, did they know they were being recorded?
By and large, no. Even up to the level of Henry Kissinger, did not know. I've spoken to numerous Nixon officials, George Shultz, George H.W. Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, Henry Kissinger, and none of those names and many others did not know. It was installed secretly by the Secret Service Communications Division. Only I think, two or three top aides knew of its installation. But even Nixon's closest associates, whom he had known the longest, were not aware that it had been installed.
Do you know, have subsequent presidents had similar recordings?
Well, as far as we know, subsequent ones didn't. You know, we'd like to think they learned the lesson that Nixon should have learned. But you know, who knows? I mean, that's the great thing about being a historian is you never know when that box of materials is going to show up one day at the archives, and it's going to contain sort of mysterious documents that really change our thinking about issues. We do know now that presidents before Nixon, really only as a result of the Nixon taping system, the disclosure of it, Roosevelt taped and Truman taped, Kennedy taped, Johnson taped, but Nixon was the first one, and as far as we know, the only one to tape so comprehensively.
And it may not matter, I guess, historically, but just out of matter of curiosity, are we talking about small reel-to-reel tapes, cassette recordings? What kind of actual tape are we talking about?
Well, these were on cassette tapes, which was a fairly new technology at the time, and there are thousands of them. They were captured in six-hour blocks originally and cut down to two-hour blocks, and there's lots of technical details. They've been released in cassette. The tapes over the last 30 years have been released in the prevailing technology of the time. So up until the 1990s, you're right, they were released in cassette format. Now, the last few tape releases have been released on CD as well as directly to the Internet. So the process is changing, is becoming more modern over time, but a lot of the tapes do remain in cassette form.
And I understand you're on the road right now. Are you off to actually review these things personally?
You're exactly right. I worked all day on the tapes yesterday from the Austin area, from my office, and then today I talked to you from the Charlotte airport, just kind of moving along to Washington, D.C., and I'll be reviewing the rest of the release, not just the tapes, but the paper, the textual release, and I'll be there through the end of the week. So I'll be kind of covering both sides of the release.
Professor, we appreciate your time. Thanks for your conversation this morning. We appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Nixon historian Luke Nichter, an assistant professor of history at Texas A&M.